Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. This is Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase here, kickstarting another week of podcasts right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can always subscribe to the podcast on any podcast platform, on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. We are up and available on every platform that you listen to your shows. And as always, as well on the computer, LockedOnEagles.com. What we got going on this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles, it's not another traditional mock draft Monday. We'll get back into our full seven-round mock drafts next week because we actually have two full mock drafts this week. So next week, we'll get back to the traditional one on Monday between me and Gino. But since this week, we did a network-wide mock draft today that we will discuss what I did at pick 21 representing the Philadelphia Eagles, where each lockdown host went through their pick 1 through 32. So we did that today, and I want to discuss what I went about doing for the Eagles at pick 21. I think you're going to agree with what I did based on how the board fell, based on who was available, the value, the position. I think you'll like who I selected in the network-wide mock draft, and that's what we'll get into later on today's edition of the show. But also coming up this week, we have, which is my favorite podcast to do all year round. And don't get me wrong, I love during the regular season actually having games to discuss, you know, individual performances, stock up, stock down, you know, playoff runs, the whole nine yards. But the offseason comes the offseason simulation pod. And those I'm really looking forward to. So if you haven't listened to last year's edition of the offseason simulation, I play the part of Howie Roseman. I run through the entire offseason. I make internal decisions on which free agents to re-sign. Like, am I going to pay Malcolm Jenkins? Am I going to give him a raise, or am I going to let him walk? Am I going to bring back Rodney McLeod? You know, they already are allowing Jason Peters to test the open market, but am I going to trust Andre Dillard to not bring him back? So I do that. I try to bring in different unrestricted free agents from other teams, like potentially maybe Byron Jones, and then I also run through an entire seven-round mock draft. So I just play the part of the Eagles general manager, take myself from March up until May, and do everything that Howie Roseman is going to try to do in what is a very important offseason. And Gino's going to do the same thing too. Last year it was just me. This year Gino will do his own offseason simulation on Wednesday. So prepare for that tomorrow. On Tuesday, my offseason simulation will drop. Gino's on Wednesday, and then we will continue to get into some free agency coverage as we are now less than 10 days away from the start of unrestricted free agency. The Eagles have over $40 million in cap space. They're going to be more aggressive this year in paying guys in their prime on longer term deals, kind of like they were in 2016 and 2017. So it's an exciting time. We'll get into a whole lot more free agency talk coming up later on this week because we have really been really keening in on the draft. And I think justfully so. They are going to have seven picks in the first four rounds. They need young, long-term pieces to build around Carson Wentz on offense, but also on the defensive side of the football. But free agency is going to be the theme later on this week. So again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast because we got 4 to 6 shows a week being downloaded into your phone. So again, today we're going to get into the network-wide mock draft that we did on the Locked On Podcast Network in segment 2 and 3. But as for right now, I saw a little bit of news later on at the tail end of last week from Matthew Berry of ESPN. He is pretty much the face of fantasy football right now. Super popular guy. I love his coverage. I'm a big fantasy football player myself. He actually had a report based on some people he talked to within the Philadelphia Eagles organization. He said that he talked to one anonymous coach, and it's not a bad, this isn't Alshonimus, right? This isn't Alshon Jeffrey bashing Carson Wentz, but an Eagles coach was talking to Matthew Berry about the running back situation, and we did a running back offseason options podcast a couple weeks ago, so you can go check that out as well. We did all our offseason options for each position, and I talked about, you know, running back by committee, that time of the Doug Peterson era in the backfield is likely over. However, based on, of course, the emergence of Miles Sanders down the stretch, and he was instrumental in getting the team to the playoffs. He's a star in the making. He already, to me, is a star. But Matthew Berry says he believes the Eagles want to stay with the running back by committee approach. He also said a coach told him that they felt like the offense really missed Jordan Howard down the stretch. Look, I don't see this at all. I don't understand the logic if this report is real. I don't agree with it. You guys all know I'm very anti-running back by committee. I think it's a strategy when you're deciding to go cheap on running back and you bring in a bunch of guys with different skill sets, with maybe like one real strong different skill set that's different from the other running backs, right? So you look at 2017, LeGarrette Blount, he's the power back, right? Jay Ajayi, kind of the same thing, a little bit more well-versed overall as a player. And then you have Corey Clement, who's more of the passing third down running back, right? So you have a bunch of different guys with, you know, one real strength, and they all complement each other very well, and you rotate that through on a pretty even snap count. That makes sense. However, again, when you have a star weapon, not just a running back, but a weapon like Miles Sanders in the backfield that can get 1,000 yards in a season, but also, you know, get to 500-plus receiving yards, you want to feature that guy as much as you can. And to me, it makes you way less predictable when you have one player that can do it all, because when the Eagles would have Darren Sproles out there on 3rd-and-2 versus LeGarrette Blount, you know, at the beginning of the 2017 season, I mean, you pretty much knew that LeGarrette Blount was going to run the football on 3rd-and-1, right? And if Darren Sproles was out there for a 3rd-and-4, you know, maybe not the 3rd-and-shorts versus 3rd-and-longs, because those are pretty predictable as it is, but like the mid-third downs, 3rd-and-5, 3rd-and-4, you could justify running the football there, you could justify throwing. When you had a Blount or a Sproles, it kind of tipped your hand, but Miles Sanders, you don't know what's going to happen. The guy can run up the A-gap and beat you there with two different cuts and get 30 yards down the field in the blink of an eye, or he can run a wheel route down the right sideline against your linebacker and gash you that way. So I just think when you have a player that special, you don't want to take him off the field. Of course, you know, running back, you're always going to rotate players. You saw Boston Scott was a big part of the playoff run last year as well, but I'm looking more for a rotation that's not really a committee. It's more heavily featuring Sanders, and then you sprinkle in a guy here or there. And I really hope that that's still the mentality that the Eagles want to go with heading into 2020. And look, if that includes Jordan Howard, I'm all for it. Jordan Howard was incredible for the first 8 weeks of the season. He was instrumental in saving the season in the middle of the year when they were 3-4. He helped right the ship. They really relied on him in that offensive line. He gashed the Buffalo Bills. He destroyed the Chicago Bears. Even the Thursday night game against Green Bay, he was really, really good. But this is Miles Sanders' backfield, and I feel like he's going to get better opportunities and money elsewhere. If he wants to come back as RB2 in a non-committee-like backfield, I'm fine with that. But I'm not into the idea of going back to what they were doing a month into the season where it's kind of 60-40, 55-45. That's not something that I really want. I want this backfield to be Miles Sanders, and I want other guys to have roles, but not to this even split that Doug Peterson and Deuce Staley have been used to in the past. When you have a LeSean McCoy, right, in 2013, Chip Kelly wasn't saying, no, we've got to make sure Chris Polk gets in there, right? Or, yeah, Bryce Brown showed some really good stuff in 2012, but you didn't force Bryce Brown in there taking snaps away from LeSean McCoy. When you have a star, you play your star. And that's why, to me, I don't think the report is something I believe. Doug Peterson last year actually went out of his way to give guys chances at carrying the bulk of the carries. You look at Miles Sanders for the first 2-3 weeks of the season up until that Green Bay game, Doug Peterson was trying to give him the job in the backfield, and he struggled to run the football, so he went to Jordan Howard, who was way more efficient, and then Jordan Howard became the workhorse when it comes to carries. Maybe not when it comes to snaps and, you know, passing down production, but Jordan Howard was getting most of the carries. And then again, it was Miles Sanders when Jordan Howard got hurt and Sanders took over. So I don't really even buy the report, to be honest. I hope it's not true. I'm more of the idea and the philosophy of a workhorse. If you have that weapon, if you have that star, to me, what I want to see in 2020, as I talked about on the Offseason Options podcast, is you sign LeSean McCoy back, right? It was really cool. I mean, the fan in me can't help but get giddy seeing DeSean Jackson comment on McCoy's Instagram post saying, are you coming back home? I thought that was awesome seeing DeSean and, you know, Sproles recruit him on Instagram. I believe in Boston Scott as RB2. I believe Corey Clement can still be a pretty good running back in the NFL if he can stay healthy. If he's your RB3A, 3B with LeSean McCoy, an inexpensive veteran added to a young group. That, to me, isn't that emotional mistake of, you know, keeping Jason Peters or Alshon Jeffrey, because McCoy's not going to be asked to be Miles Sanders, or he's not going to be asked to be what he used to be. So that's what I'm hoping for, is bringing a veteran like McCoy to complement Sanders, Scott, and Clement. I don't think that's Jordan Howard. I would welcome Jordan Howard back, but not in a role that maybe this report is suggesting, and not in the role that he had in 2019. All right, so that does it for today's running back talk. I want to get into next our Locked On Podcast Network network-wide mock draft, where each host of their respective team took on the responsibility of picking for their team. 1 through 32, I was picking at 21 for the Philadelphia Eagles. I really like who I ended up with. I want to see if you agree with me. That's coming up next, right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, segment two coming your way on this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here joining you on another late night edition of Mock Draft Monday. We're not going to go through a 7-round mock draft for the Eagles only today, because we do have that going on in our offseason simulations tomorrow and on Wednesday. We will get back to doing that traditionally every Monday starting up next week, but we've had a lot of these offseason series that we like to continue to feature on the podcast going on the past couple weeks, and we're going to continue to ride that. But we're still talking about mock drafts today on Mock Draft Monday. We're still talking about the NFL draft and what the Eagles could potentially do at 21 overall, maybe moving up, maybe moving down. But for this network-wide mock draft that we did on Sunday night that I want to get into my selection, I stayed put at 21. And based on how the board fell, you know, obviously I feel like the favorites on Eagles Twitter right now are Henry Ruggs, the top three receivers, right, if any were to fall. Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, you know, C.D. Lamb. There's also, I really like the idea of Clavon Chazen, the pass rusher out of LSU. However, those four guys probably not going to fall to 21. You know, you're not going to sniff Isaiah Simmons, unfortunately, or Jeff Okuda at positions the Eagles really could use. Even Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle out of South Carolina, likely now to go in the top, I would say, at least 12. So right now at 21, the options that were available, a lot of those players did go where we expected. I was left with options like this: LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson. You know, a bunch of the that second tier of receivers, Justin Jefferson, LaVisca Chenault, T. Higgins, Jalen Reagor, Brandon Ayuk, K.J. Hamler. So a lot of those receivers that are very popular names being linked with the Eagles. Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU. Some pass rushers like A.J. Epineza from Iowa, Yeter Gross-Matos from Penn State. But as you guys heard on the Defensive Ends podcast on Saturday, I'm not a big fan of either of those two prospects. So I went with a guy that right now could be on the board at 21 that about a month ago I would say wouldn't have a chance. But now, based on the stock of some other players at this position, like a C.J. Henderson from Florida, I think LSU cornerback Christian Fulton could be there at 21, and he fell to me in this mock draft, and I ran to the podium to take him. I know the big cornerback talk for the Eagles so far this offseason has been about free agency, right? Because right now it seems like almost every insider that has real knowledge of what's going on throughout the free agency market right now inside organizations, everyone believes that the Eagles are the front runner to sign Cowboys cornerback Byron Jones to a massive contract, or at least get into a bidding war with a team like the New York Giants, also in the NFC East. And while I do agree that the Eagles are going to try to spend big on corner in free agency and try to find a proven player, maybe he's not in his 30s like a Chris Harris, but it could be a guy like a Byron Jones or a James Bradbury, maybe a Logan Ryan. So I do think that is something the Eagles are going to do. However, at the same time, one player is not going to fix everything for the Birds in the secondary. I mean, they need more than one cornerback. Yeah, having a CB1 like Jones, that's going to do huge things for your defense. They haven't had that player since Asante Samuel in 2011. So it's been 9 years now since they've had somebody like Byron Jones. Don't say Nnamdi Asamoah. Don't compare him to Byron Maxwell. That was a cornerback two that got overpaid because of the defense he was in Seattle. And Nnamdi Asamoah was a name that was elite at a time, but he was in the twilight of his career in Philadelphia, overpaid for him. Byron Jones is not that. So yeah, that would be a huge piece to the puzzle. But it's not just the one cornerback spot. They need multiple new outside cornerbacks with Ronald Darby gone, and it's an addition by subtraction there. They need to upgrade that position. Anyway, Jalen Mills is also a free agent. Like, they need a fresh start there. To me, they need two new corners. And if you can pair up a Byron Jones with a Christian Fulton on the outside, and you have a Craven LeBlanc combination with Avante Maddox inside, and the depth of maybe Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, I mean, to me, automatically, you're looking so much better at corner this year than last year. I mean, that's potentially two elite cover cornerbacks that the Eagles have together, and they haven't had that in a decade. So that possibility, that potential was just too much to turn down. I love Christian Fulton. To me, he's my second-ranked cornerback, only behind Jeffrey Okuda out of Ohio State. I like him better than Jeff Gladney out of TCU. I like him better than Trayvon Diggs out of Alabama. To me, again, he's my second-ranked corner. Press coverage, a guy that has 4.47 speed at the combine to match a lot of these burners. He's got length, he's physical, but he's also really patient, and he's technically sound. He's not going to just have these mind-numbing mistakes physically and mentally in coverage. He's a complete player, and to me, he's one of the most pro-ready starters in this entire draft that I think immediately could be a big-time player for the Eagles defense. So, yeah, I think this was an easy decision for me. And actually, again, he wasn't even the second cornerback taken here. C.J. Henderson went right in front of us here at pick 20 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think it's good value. I think Fulton is better than the 21st overall player in this draft. And I'll take it, though. I'll take it at pick 21. I would even consider moving up a few spots if this was the case. And the top three receivers were not available. I go back to, for Fulton, the Alabama game specifically. That tape really convinced me about who he is and what he can be. That was some awesome film to watch. It's up on YouTube, by the way. 8 minutes of Fulton one-on-one with the likes of Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, but not just those two, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. Alabama had four guys that are going to be first-round picks in 2020 and 2021 that are going to be featured in NFL offenses for a very long time. And LSU just said, Fulton, you got this side. Whoever comes over there, you press them at the line and you take them out of this football game. And he really did. I mean, Fulton was, especially against Henry Ruggs, I think that was the most exciting reps to watch was Fulton versus Ruggs, because Fulton, you can see just on the field, you could see the length, the size, but then you see the speed, you see the quick turn of the hips, you see that athleticism, but at the same time, that combined with the mental side, the technique, the awareness on the field, the awareness of route running and leverage. I love the prospect of Christian Fulton to the Eagles. Since 2017, by the way, a quick stat for you, in college football, Christian Fulton forced the highest percentage of incomplete passes. Number two was DeAndre Baker, who was a first-round pick last year with the New York Giants, and then number three was Jacob Huff. Christian Fulton forced incompletions on 29.1% of targets headed his way since 2017. I mean, that's damn good. It's number one in college. And just to get you a better perspective, to get you a better opinion from a guy that knows way more about scouting corners than I do, I'll go to a tweet from Eric Crocker, who is a former NFL cornerback, and now he is one of the best evaluators of the position in NFL media. He said, and I quote, Christian Fulton versus Alabama, talk about someone confident in their speed. Covered Ruggs like 90% of the time, never broke his technique, was extremely patient at the line, never looked in a panic, was really aggressive at times, and it was just super impressive. And then he tweeted again, I've been in that position where you are guarding someone and you know the guy is gassy. It can speed up your time clock. I also never ran a 4.47 laser time, so maybe that's the difference. So Fulton, he's a legit prospect, and at 21, all in on that pick. Again, I'm salivating at the idea of Byron Jones and Christian Fulton on the outside in 2020. To go from Darby and Mills to Jones and Fulton, I mean, pinch me. I would be dreaming. I'm in love with this selection here. It's one of my favorite players in this draft. And again, outside of the top three receivers, outside of, you know, one of those top-tier safeties falling like again, Isaiah Simmons isn't going to, but Xavier McKinney or a Grant Delpit. Fulton, I would say outside of Ruggs, is probably the second highest my guy for prospects for me in the 2020 NFL draft. So I took Christian Fulton at pick 21 in the Locked On Podcast Network, network-wide mock draft. All right, we got one more segment here wrapping up this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles, a very late night edition of the show. I will wrap up that mock draft one more time coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back in. Locked On Eagles, segment 3 of this very late night edition of Mock Draft Monday. We did a network-wide first-round mock early Monday morning, I would say, is when we finished it up. I was able to select for the Philadelphia Eagles at 21, LSU cornerback Christian Fulton. I don't know if you guys agree. Would you have taken Fulton there between, I know Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU, is a very popular name around Eagles Twitter. Laviska Shenault is as well. Jalen Reagor, Jeff Gladney, the cornerback out of TCU. Some people actually like better than Fulton. Fulton is my second favorite corner in this draft, only behind Okuda. Patrick Queen, also at linebacker out of LSU, but I think Fulton there is the easy selection. And the way this mock draft kind of broke down, it was a very easy choice. Henry Ruggs didn't even come close, and I'm sorry, guys, but I think this mock draft is very realistic for Ruggs' value. He went 10th overall. Locked On Broncos actually moved up 5 spots from pick 15 to top 10. 10th overall to select Ruggs. I really could see that as a possibility. I could see Ruggs being the first wide receiver off the board. I just don't think there's any, I mean, maybe he gets to like pick 13 to 15 and the Eagles could decide to jump up like 6 or 7 spots, but I'm sorry, I don't think he is even coming close to falling at 21. CeeDee Lamb either, he went 2 spots later to the Las Vegas Raiders. However, I mean, there are 3 of these guys. Jerry Jeudy also was on the board until 17th overall when he went to the Dallas Cowboys. If that scenario broke down where Jeudy is my 3rd favorite between Lamb, Ruggs, and Jeudy, I would put Jeudy 3rd. But if he falls past the top 15, I could see the Eagles, like in this scenario, moving right in front of Dallas again to steal another young weapon away, kind of like they did with Dallas Goedert in the 2018 second round of the NFL draft. So I could see the Eagles maybe considering that, a move up for one of those top 3 receivers, if the value is right. But Fulton, for me, if I'm sitting put at 21, was the easy choice between Justin Jefferson, A.J. Epenesa, Jeff Gladney, Laviska Shenault. I would say, honestly, again, if I wasn't taking Fulton there, I would have either moved down so I could take one of those receivers at a better value, at a better bargain, maybe justify more taking a Brandon Ayuk, who I like better than a lot of the names I mentioned. Also, KJ Hamler, one of my favorite players. So if I can move down to like pick 28 to 30 and take one of those guys, that would have been probably my 2nd choice. And then 3rd, I probably would have went with one of those top safeties, either Xavier McKinney or Grant Delpit for sure. So that's what I would have done. But I think if Fulton was on the board there at 21, I think it's a pretty easy choice. Again, even if the Eagles pay a cornerback big money in free agency, they need to make multiple moves at that position, and I think Fulton would be a hell of an option for the 2020 season. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Really excited, though, to get back into it tomorrow. It kickstarts our off-season simulation. Starting with me, I play the role of Howie Roseman. I'm going to go through free agency. I'm going to go through the NFL draft and build the team in the image that I could see them heading into 2020. And then Gino will do the same thing on Wednesday. And then we got another couple shows for you Thursday through Saturday. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast because we're churning out a lot of content, even though it's the off season. There really is no off season for the Locked On Eagles podcast. You can always follow us on Twitter because we're always talking birds after the show at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. For myself, Lou DiBiase, signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.